continue to speak of the family, as last week at our homecoming, we started focusing on marriage. I want to say thank you to all that were a part of homecoming last week, that came to a service, were a part of us diving into the Word and worshiping together. Some stayed after for a great meal, good fellowship. And so thank you for your part in that, and thank you for inviting people, whether they came or not. They saw your love and wanting them to be a part. Keep on working, and keep inviting and planting the seed in people's lives. But as our focus then was on marriage, we sought a pattern for marriage. To leave and to cleave. That's to leave our parents and become one flesh with the person we marry. We saw the purpose of marriage was to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw the application of marriage was man loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And for a woman to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. But we all know marriages have struggles. Married people in here, amen. Some said it louder than others, Charlie. Okay. And we know that in marriages, you're going to have time that you, I hate the word argue, but it's going to happen. And it is. And if you haven't yet, you're still on your honeymoon. And that's okay. Enjoy it for 50 years if you can. You're going to have times that you cry, you hurt, that you have fears. And hopefully those times are together. And they're going to either destroy your relationship or grow you, depending on how you handle those hard times. But one of those times, and what we're going to talk about today, is if you're not careful, one of those times that can bring much grief into your marriage is called kids. If you have kids, you know they can bring struggles. If your kids are here, you're careful to say it, or you say it even louder. I don't know. They can cause you to fight with them. But they'll also cause you to argue with your spouse about them. Or the biggest danger of kids is they become a distraction to your main purpose. They distract you from the one you are to be one flesh with. And here's just a bit of information. You're not one flesh with your kids. You are not one flesh with your kids. Here's a timely quote. Charlie Kirk said, marriage is a covenantal relationship. Children are the outgrowth of that covenant. They are not that covenant. The covenant is with your spouse. Making your kids priority over your spouse is to break that covenant, be disobedient to the pattern God created for marriage. It's going to hurt not only your marriage, it's going to hurt your children because they're not going to see the gospel of Christ in your marriage. It'll defeat your purpose in trying to raise godly children. But we got to remember, as much as kids will bring hardship, arguments, struggles, tears, they are a blessing. But understand, any misused blessing becomes a curse. When we misuse any blessing that God gives us, we use it in a way that God doesn't want us to use it, we curse ourselves with that blessing. Psalms 127:3, I've quoted many times from this pulpit, says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Kids are God's blessings. He tells us how to raise them. He tells us what the purpose of parenting is. And he tells us how he's going to bless us for being obedient to him. The problem comes when we get the roles mixed up. When we forget who's to be what within the family. Dad is supposed to be the leader. We saw that last week. We see that throughout Scripture. Man is supposed to provide and protect because he represents Jesus Christ, who should give his life for who? his spouse. Mom is to be the helpmeet, to help dad fulfill the God-given purpose. Kids, what's their role? What is their role? They have a role within the family. They have a role, and sometimes it's not what we think it is. We looked at mom and dad's role in Ephesians 5 today and Ephesians 6. Look there in verse 1. Children, what? Obey. God keeps going though. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first command with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your creation. And Lord, I ask that you challenge each one of us in this room on why and how we raise our kids. That we'd evaluate our own lives, the examples we set, the words that come out of our mouth as we guide them to you. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Right there we see the role of kids in the home. That's a kid's responsibility. Got some kids in here saying, Pastor, you need to shut up today. The responsibility is pretty clear here. Notice the kid's responsibility, their role in a family. Is it to be catered to? Come on, you can talk. I know we're not Pentecostal, but you can get a woo-hoo. Anybody? It doesn't say to cater them, does it? Doesn't give them everything they want. Does it say they're to be listened to? It might be wise to help them out, but that's not what their role should be to require. Does it say that they should be comforted and given all that they want to make them happy and feel good about themselves? No. The child's role in the home, very plain and simple, is to obey your parents in the Lord. No goosebumps, no expectations, no authority to the child. Listen and obey. Woo, that's so mean. Let's close and pray. If you notice here, the responsibility of this act by the kids is still upon the parents. What do you mean? Do you notice obey the parents in what? In the Lord. In the Lord. You, as a parent, should be leading your kids according to God's word. The responsibility isn't on the kid now. They listen to you, and every word you give to them, every example you set to them, should guide them in their walk with Christ. Should grow them in their being conformed to the image of Christ. As you guide them, you should be guiding your kids into God's lap, into that relationship with Him. You should be raising your kids to honor God, so that when you are obeyed by them, they are honoring God. Responsibility on us. He tells us what their role is. Understand, their role is all over Scripture. It's not all of a sudden I found a little magical verse. It starts, we're familiar with the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The kid's blessing comes when they fulfill the role within their family. Want God's blessing? Of course, the kids are downstairs, but teens, you want God's blessing? What does He call you to do? Obey your parents and the Lord. If you remember what Jesus, in the depth that Jesus taught this, when speaking to religious leaders who were being legalistic and placing laws upon everybody else, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Oy! Pretty harsh, isn't he? Does Jesus say, kill my kid? No. He's pointing out the importance of the kid fulfilling their part in the family. He's not commanding us to kill our kids, as you sometimes want to. But what he's telling these legalistic buffoons, he's saying, listen, you want to put laws on everybody else? Here's what the result would be. You be dead. thank God for his grace. Amen. I know I wouldn't have made it past age zero. My poor mama. See, the role of the child in the home is to honor and obey his parents, to follow their guidance, to do as they say, even when they don't want to. Parents, nowhere in Scripture tells you to obey or even honor your children. It's an important fact here. We're not trying to be mean to children. We're trying to see the importance of us being parents. You are not told to honor or coddle or do everything they want. We're not called to be their friends. Understand, they've got buddies and friends. You are called to be a parent. Having a close, friendly relationship with a kid is a byproduct of godly parenting. Guess what? Many times my boys ain't like me. Many boys, at times, they probably spoke bad about me when I wasn't listening, right, Josiah? Shame on you. And I had to weigh out what's more important, me being cool to my son or raising him up to honor God. Same decision each one of us have to make. We're not supposed to make our kids' child about our kids' life all about them. We have an even greater responsibility to them than to just satisfy what they want, to encourage them in what they want. What is that responsibility? Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 4. And ye fathers, pause there a second. We talked last week when speaking to the father, who's his helpmeet? The mother, his wife. They're one flesh. So father, as a leader, I speak to you, and automatically your wife is with you. You're a team here. He goes on, what are you supposed to do? Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We've talked about this verse many times, and today I hope to be more applicable with what we speak of. That you walk out of here, there's areas in your life that you can evaluate how we raise them up, how we speak to them. But right here names what should be the parent's number one fear. Number one, parent, understand you're a team. Don't out-cool each other. Don't try to be cooler than your spouse and let them do stuff the spouse would never let. Don't do the phrase, all we did, parents. Don't you tell your mama we did this. Because what does that tell them? Oh, dad's the cool one. Mom's the nag. Moms, don't do that. You make dad look that bad, like the mad guy. When you're a team, you're one flesh. Together is where they're supposed to see the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't counter each other. I shared last week, countering each other is don't override your parent, your spouse's decision. You together, go together in private, make a decision. I told you to my boys, if they would come to me and ask me to do something my wife had already said no to, they were in deep doo-doo. Doo-doo is the Christian word, you know. And they knew, don't you dare do that, because they tried at first. And that didn't work good. So then they had to reason in their mind, which one should we ask? But never contradict. Why? Because together we have to be a team. What we teach our kids when they'll come to me and for one thing, and if they don't get what they want, they go to her. We teach them to play games with God, too, and try to twist what they want to get what they want. Parents, plan together, work together, love your kids enough to say no. Amen. No sometimes is the most loving thing you can tell your kid. Can I go do so-and-so? Is that on church day? Is that on the Lord's day? No. You're not saying it because you're a jerk. You're saying it because you're trying to teach them the importance of honoring God. The meanest thing you can do is, yeah, that's more important. you're getting mad at me already, we just started. I'm trying to apply what we see in God's word here. If you remember when you first found out you were going to have a kid, most of us were scared to death. I'm like, oh my goodness. This is awesome and scary all at the same time. And I'll tell you, my higher than high scare fears, we'd have a girl. I was scared to death having a girl. Yeah, you know, man, I don't know. Not only the stuff I got to teach her, I don't teach that stuff. I have to kill a lot of boys that talk to her. You know what I'm saying? And it just how I was scared of having a girl. God blessed me with two boys, and of course we have three. We're not sure. One of them I think was a girl, but she's in heaven, and God taking care of her right now. But I was scared, and he started evaluating. But it's funny, before we have kids, what's the thing? Can't afford. We're gonna wait until you afford it. Joke's on you. You ain't gonna afford them. God's gonna provide for you though. Don't plan it that way. Pray hard. And then more importantly, is how am I going to raise them for the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How am I going to train them and teach them to love the Lord? But you notice here, here's the true fear you have to have in verse 4. Provoke not your children to wrath. You know what provokes children to wrath? When all their childhood, they get what they want. They're not told no because they're the angel of the home. They rule the nest. They're not made to serve others unless it's convenient or easy or they like to. They're never allowed to be hurt and cry. They're not allowed to be embarrassed or you're there to protect them from that. You're never allowed to go without. And quite honestly, American kids are spoiled. I hope you can say amen and not get mad at me. Every toy that comes out, when you spend $800 on a phone for a kid, the kid's spoiled. Okay? And we spoil them with everything they want. TV's in the room for years. Now they don't care about TVs. TVs are boring. And we give them everything they want. It's good for a kid to go without, to have need. And then they grow up, and this doesn't happen in their life. They don't get what they want. Someone tells them no. They don't want to serve. Oh, shame on you. You should never do something that would embarrass me. You shouldn't call me out. And what happens when it starts to happen? They start to rebel against God. Why? How could a loving God allow me to suffer? Why? Parents, within our homes, we got to allow our kids to do what they call suffering. Going without. Crying a little. Yeah, hug them when they're crying. Love on them, but don't shield them from what they're going to have to face one day. And we sometimes set them up to fall into the wrath. How could a loving God let me be embarrassed? How could a loving God not let me have what I want? And so they choose to walk away from Him, even though you brought them up going to church all their childhood. As long as God gives me what I want, though. Often they're going to rebel against you and lash out against you eventually because you taught them that they were in charge. You let what they wanted be what happens. You didn't decide it with your one flesh. You decided according to what the kid wants. Then as a teen, you try to say no once. And they lash out. Sometimes trying to be a loving parent, we hurt them and we drive them to wrath. We drive them to anger. We drive them to rebellion because we're not to let them learn while they're in our homes. We spoil them. And they become very entitled. See, for a believing parent, this is the greatest fear we should have. Your greatest fear should not be that your kid doesn't have a great job. Your greatest fear would be that your kids walk away from God, that they fall under His wrath, that they rebel against Him, that they reject His ways and walk in darkness. They don't care to have a deeper walk with Him. They don't care about fearing Him. And parent, you should be scared to death that your kid would fall under the wrath of God. That should be our greatest fear. Amen? I hope that's your prayer every day. Lord, let me guide them closer to you today. You got grandkids? Lord, let me help them walk. Let me encourage my kids to encourage their kids. Let me be an example of godliness, not coolness. For this reason, God tells us how to raise them. It gives us the parents' responsibility. The word responsibility tells us it's going to be hard. Anyone that lovingly raises their kids never tells you it's an easy job. If you love your kid, it's work. It's hard. But it's well worth it. It's fulfilling in the long run. And look what our responsibility is in verse 4, at the end of it. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice this says nothing about making them a great athlete. It says nothing about making them well-educated. It says nothing about taking them where they want to go. Nothing about them having the cool shoes and clothing. It says nothing about making sure they have a bunch of buddies to hang out with. Doesn't say anything about making sure their feelings aren't hurt. All those things are good and dandy. But your calling, you notice here as a parent, your calling as a team, mom and dad, one flesh. Here's your calling in verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's your purpose. Ask me before, what is your purpose in raising kids? And the problem is we never talk about that before having kids. And so sometimes after years of having kids, it's like, I never thought of that. What is your purpose? Here's your purpose. You want a purpose statement for raising kids? It's been given to you right here. That I would raise them up for the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, those are fancy words. What does that mean? To nurture means another word for discipline. It means correction or training. It's a parent's responsibility to correct and guide his kids. And Proverbs tells you not to spare the rod. See, y'all know it. We just don't like quotes because it's so harsh. It says, don't spare the rod. You'll spoil the child. And we know spoiled items are worthless, right? What is that reference to? When you spoil your child, you spare the rod on them. They aren't raised to honor God and fulfill their purpose. So discipline, nurture, teach them right versus wrong at all times. Understand this, if they're little, you got little ones, and it's cute right now when they throw a fit, their fits are much worse when they're older. And you teach them not to control themselves. If you think it's cute now, I promise you it's going to be a bummer later. Teach them now. Correct them. Teach consequences. Teach them to be Christ-like. So this is nurture and admonition. Nurture is discipline. Admonition is instruction. Raise them up in the instruction of the Lord, the training, the teaching of God. It's the parent's responsibility what that child is taught. Okay? What your child is taught is your responsibility. Well, they go to that church. We know that church teaches bad, but they're just hanging with their friends. It's your responsibility when they start getting confused with God's word. It's your responsibility in what they teach. This means you have to correct over and over and over. Guess what? Sometimes you've got to come home from school and you need to go over their school materials with them and say, you know, God doesn't say this. He said he created the world. God doesn't say what they said. Guess what? God made male and female. Right? And consistently through your life, have that conversation. Don't wait for one big special session. It's a consistent nurturing of the child, of teaching, of feeding truth. So as they grow, you can invest a little bit more and deeper. It's neat the conversations I can have with my sons today. As they bring up scripture, they're like, well, that's awesome. So encouraging. Where years ago, I remember why, you know, don't eat boogers. I mean, it's the depth of conversation changes when you start investing now. Yeah. Charlie's asking you why you don't eat them, right? Okay. We'll talk later, Charlie. So you need to consistently correct and teach what they've learned from their friends. Right? What they learned in the locker room. What they learn on TV. What they learn from Bill Nye, the not science guy. What they learn on their cell phone that you give too much freedom with. You've got to continually be teaching and guiding and investing and correcting. Understand this, the home is responsible for teaching God's word. Starts all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The home, your house, is responsible for teaching God's word. You know that? Oh, but I take them to church. No, the church should only be supporting and building up what you are teaching at home. Should be challenging and investing what you're already at home investing. And so make sure you understand that it's your job as a parent to correct bad teaching and to support good teaching and to feed God's word. When you go home, if you got a kid downstairs today or was in Sunday school, ask them what they learned in Sunday school and junior church today. And you drive home. How simple is it? It's kind of fun. Because the first week, guess what happens? I don't remember. You say, well, I'm going to ask again next week. Pay attention. And what happens? Sometimes you're going to learn something. What? Ask them. Be involved in their life. Spend time with them in the word and in prayer. Try to make it easy. We have a book of the Bible we're reading every month. Sit down with your family in the evening, 10, 15 minutes. And what it develops to is in conversation. Did you ever notice this? Dude, you notice that war? Oh, did they really do that? It's really cool. And spend some time in prayer with them. No, notice what you're doing as a parent. If you raise them up in a nurturing admonition of the Lord, notice what you're doing as a parent. You're preparing the child to do the same thing that you are called to do for the Lord. That's all you're doing. You are preparing your child to serve and honor God. This is what our lives are all about. Honoring the one who created us, who died for us, who has prepared a place for us. And raising your children, parents, your job is to decide what is best for them. That's not their job. I didn't get no amens there because you're all being real quiet and shy today. But parent, deciding what's best for your children is your job, not theirs. And that's when often we have to say, no, I have a greater purpose. I love you more than that. I think that's a bad idea. We have to decide that. That's a responsibility God has given us as parents. It is your job to lead them, not to let them run wild and hope for the best. It's your job to exemplify, to live and obey God's word. It's your job to teach them and to love them, teach them to love and obey God by obeying and loving you. It's your job to give them opportunities to obey and love God. When you serve in a church, excel. Don't do it alone. Let your family be involved. Bring your family. It's cool to see our kids doing ushering. It's so cool. As you know, after the COVID time, we had done our plates in different areas, and my thought was just leave them there. And we have to have the responsibility to give to the Lord. And ushers brought up the fact, you know what? I think we're missing an opportunity to continue to teach our kids the importance, number one, serving, but also giving to the Lord where they watch us give. Wow, has it been awesome? That's why God has blessed us with deacons that will voice up what we need to do. And to watch our kids take the offering and give an offering and be excited about it. At first, I'd gather them and say, you guys got it? Now I got a couple of the boys to kind of lead this run. We got it. I asked them today, you guys ready? We're good. I'm like, this is awesome. We got some teens working in the nursery downstairs, working in junior church. My mom and dad has been serving, and it taught their kid, listen, this isn't my ministry. It's ours. They're ministering too. It's important that we do this. And as they get older, you can slowly let them have opportunities to implement what you have taught them. Amy and I are in a hard time in our life where our little baby, 6'4" baby, we've got to let him make his decisions. The idiot is looking at apartments to rent now, and his mama's crying at home. Bless his heart. Well, what happens is we teach him to obey and to honor because we're refocusing their honor and love unto the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. That's the importance of it. I want to get real quick, just a few minutes, on parental application. Here's the biggest problem is most of us know the purpose of parenting. We know these verses that we talk about. We know what we're supposed to do, but we so often get the roles reversed. Allowing the kid to rule the roost because it's a lot easier than watching him get upset or sad or throw a fit, watching him miss out on opportunities that others get to do, getting them involved in everything, giving them everything they want, and often neglecting the highest responsibility, the highest calling in parenting, that is to lead them to honor and obey God. The truth is, when we lead them to honor and obey God, it's their friends that are involved in everything else that are going to miss out on that deeper walk with Christ. We're too busy trying to make cool kids that are godly kids way too often. And here's just a couple applications. If you got pen and paper and you want some notes, here's the time you need to start sketching some things. Just a couple, I think it's 5 little thoughts. And remember, as we're guiding and teaching them, what are we doing? We're training them to be the godly person we're supposed to be. So the first thing I got here is teach them that life is not all about them. But I want. You see, this attitude will kill the I attitude. But I want. My favorite. What we need to do is learn to create a Christ-centered attitude, a Christ-centered life. So every time they want to do something, every time they want something, ask this, how does that honor God? They're going to get mad. Yeah, you're going to get mad. You can have an opportunity to teach and to love. And sometimes you can say, I want to bless you with this. But they've got to learn the word no. Because their life cannot be about them. Galatians 2:20 tells us, if we're believers, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Since Christ purchased me with his blood, he gets to reign in me. Parent, it's our responsibility to teach. It's not about you. It's about he who lives in us. And that's why we start to walk by faith. Faith isn't a goosebump. Faith is obedience to his word. Our decisions are not what we want, but what he wants, and allow him to get the glory from what he purchased. Secondly, teach him to obey you. This has to be required. It's got to include punishment, discipline. If they can ignore what you say, they can ignore your rules, they'll learn not to take seriously the Word of God. They won't take seriously honoring Him and fearing Him. So, parent, you must require they obey you because, again, you're teaching them how to obey God. Listen to this. 1 John 2, 3 through 5, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him." See, God takes obedience very seriously. He's at a point that He said obedience to God is evidence that you are of God. If you have no desire to live for God, to grow in His Word and be obedient to what He says, you don't know Him. Don't say you love God if you won't obey His Word. What did Jesus say in John 14, 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Requiring obedience is vital to grow our kids for the honor of God. Third thing is teach them to accept discipline. That's tough, ain't it? We don't like discipline. Anybody in here think discipline's awesome? Yeah, no. That's tough. Discipline is to correct a person, instill good decision-making. So you must accept it. Tolerate it. Learn from it. And how they do that? When they start learning that it's for their own good. That you love them. Why? Listen here. What God says about it in Hebrews 12, 6 through 7. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he who the father chasteth not? I don't like the discipline that God gives me. I love that He loves me enough to discipline me, though. I trust His heart that He disciplines me in His love. And I need to learn to accept it. And you know what? Our kids need to learn to accept discipline because it comes from love and for their own good. And so we must discipline them in love and guide them to what's right. Number four, teach them to pursue God. Parent, teach them to pursue God. This requires them to see you pursuing God. It's about relationship. You have a relationship with a child, and in that relationship, you're teaching them the ultimate relationship. That they want to get to know Him better and walk with Him. Teach them to pursue God. And you be pursuing God along with them. Then they can pursue God out there as they outgrow your home. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we know this passage, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rarely is something worth doing easy. Usually when it's worth doing, it's hard. And God said, study here and be a workman. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take desire to dive into God's word and listen to Him. But God made Himself available to us. But we got to learn to be disciplined to listen to His word and communicate with Him. And along with studying His Word and listening to Him speak, what are we told to do? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Let them see you pray without shame. Teach them to pray. Pray with them. Pray over them. Pray as a family. Oh, but that's awkward. Only when you start. Oh, when it becomes just a regular thing, it's so beautiful as a family to come together. Let's just pray. Dad, you have a responsibility. Call the family together. Call the family together. Hey, guys, we're going to pray today. We got this happening in our lives. Let's pray together. Oh, it's time for bed. Let's pray together. Mealtime, let's thank God together. Pray, pray, pray. And you know what? If you don't teach them to pray, by them seeing you pray, they won't care about praying and communicating with the Lord. Prayer needs to be a regular part of walking with the Lord. Fifth thing, teach them to love God's church. Not just attend it. Teach them to love God's church. It just doesn't just mean be here on Sunday morning. We should go a lot further than just being at church. We should be a part of the church. We want to be involved. We should want to know one another and love one another, encourage one another, build each other, pray together, search the word together. Some of you already checked your watch. How much longer is he going to go? He's going long today. I don't even know if I'm going long, but I hope you see how important this is. Teach your kid to love the church. And I promise you, we're like, hurry up, guys. We got to go. I sure hope we're home by one. The ball game's on. You know that would be me, right? The football comes on at noon, and I ain't going to make it home on time. But we got something greater, more important. You imagine the difference? Kids come to the car because you're like, hey, guys, let's go to church. We get to go again. And all week, hey, you know what we're doing this Sunday? It's pretty cool. This Sunday we get to do lunch at church. Or this Sunday we're going to have a chili dinner. This Sunday as a church we're going to do the hayride. Next Sunday at the church we're going to, and there's an excitement. And I love getting together with the family. You know what you instill in your kids? It's a good place. If you're miserable here, if you're fighting with your wife on the way here, guess what? You're destroying it for them too. And they won't have a reason to come back, keep coming after they leave your home. But Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. Don't just go to it, be a part of her. Serve her, give to her. And if we don't teach our kids to make Sunday the Lord's Day, other things are going to crowd our Sundays. More and more things as the days keep going are going to start rising on Sunday. The Lord's promised that the days are going to get rougher to be a believer. And we're going to have to decide, okay, is this the Lord's Day? Imagine what we teach them. If when something comes up, we would say, no, we can't do it because there's church. I've got church planned, so the rest is nothing. Now, if it's not during church, if it's not on the Lord's Day, we're good. Just told him is more important. But if you say, well, you know what? Yeah, we can do it for a few weeks. Just cut church out. You're starting to belittle the value of the church and lift up the value of that other thing. What do we teach them with everything we say and everything we do, everywhere we go? We need to lead them to love the church. You go on vacation, you find a good Bible church near where you're at and take them to service. Show that gathering is important. To worship together is important. To be challenged is important. Shame on us if they're the ones begging us to go to church. Shame on me if my kid wants to go to church more than I do and they have to convince me. I should be the one responsible to say, hey guys, we get to go. Teach them to serve others now. Teach them to voice the word of God and to stand for truth. Teach them to be careful what they place before their eyes. Teach them how to use their bodies and keep them pure. Could we go on and on and on and on? All the little decisions is a greater purpose. All of those little rules that we have in a house or direction or guidance and teaching has a purpose of teaching them to honor and love and obey God. If you notice, each of these applications are things that are daily in a believer's life. They're all areas that you and I need to discipline ourselves to do. Parents, what's our purpose? To bring them up in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's to start disciplining them, teaching them, guiding them to live and honor God. And if we do this, there's a blessing. If we don't do it God's way, there's a cursing. One day, if we are obedient to him and raise them up, great. We can say as John did in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's our blessing. Would you stand with me? being a parent is a blessing. The opportunity to be a parent is a blessing. I told you, if we lost three, I'd love to have them right with me. And seven more. And if we're not careful, we'll miss out on the privilege and the opportunity that we have. And we can lead our kids into wrath, into rebellion, causing them not to be interested in the things of God, not to be interested in the ways of God, not to fear the Lord, not to worry about judgment, not to worry about His Word, but just simply pursue your own desires. And parents, that's our responsibility to mold. And we only get a few years to do it. I'm telling you, 18 years goes by fast. And I'd like to do it all over again because I've failed in so many areas. But I don't get to. One thing I can still do is pray, pray, and pray. Let's sing together as we close today.